Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mutto at Midnight with your host, Mutto Sasquatch. Mutto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Mutto in sacred ceremony. And now, Mutto at Midnight.
Well, I don't think I can add anything to that. Except that I am Mutto Sasquatch. And I will affirm that this is Mutto at Midnight. My little corner of the internet. Welcome. And thank you again, Chief Iggy, for that wonderful introduction. I don't see as much of Chief Iggy as I would like to because it's soccer season and he's out there coaching his junior high soccer team. And they're doing very well. They are undefeated so far this year. So kudos to Chief Iggy for that, to coaching his team in the, what I understand because he told me, is the South American or Latin American perhaps style. Which involves, again, this is, I'm doing that. He told me this once, and I'm doing it by memory. It involves kicking the ball sort of over the opposition as opposed to going through them, which is more the European style. Interesting what you pick up when you go to the junior high soccer game. I haven't been yet this year, and I need to. I like to show my support for Chief Iggy and all of his endeavors. So I need to find a day and I need to get out there and see the old soccer game. Now, before I go any further, I want to go ahead and do Walk in Dry Places because that seems to have been sliding off the edge of the earth recently. I do want to make sure I get that in. It's been a few weeks since I've given the more complete explanation of Walk in Dry Places. So like in church, you know, some weeks you get the short creed, and some weeks you get the longer, more detailed. You know, the short is the Apostles' Creed, and the longer one is the Nicene Creed. And there's this abominably long one that I can't even remember. They only dusted that off once a year. But this is the week where you get the long explanation of what Walk in Dry Places is all about. So. It's not terribly long. I mean, there's not a lot to it. When I got to 1 year of sobriety, some friends in the fellowship purchased this book for me, and it's a book of daily devotions. And if you've seen these before, they have there's a reading, a separate reading, one page for each day of the year. And I've been using it here on the show to. I guess to sort of complement the Shaman Tarot reading, but also to create a lens through which whatever it is we end up talking about can be focused. Otherwise, I tend to just talk. So Walk in Dry Places gives me something to talk about. And the title means, you know, okay, you've got a year of sobriety. How do you keep going? Well, one of the important things is not to go places where you might get into trouble, which is an issue I've been talking about on the show here lately. So Walk in Dry Places is the way you keep your feet dry as you walk in dry places. So here's the book, and I've marked September the 5th, so this is the reading for the upcoming day. It's just after midnight here in the Eastern time zone. So September 5th is Battles We've Won or Lost. Even the continuous sobriety we're enjoying is no shield from traps we seem to set for ourselves. At times we can find ourselves in the foolish game of continuing to fight battles we've won or lost. One losing battle is the attempt to win the approval of someone who has always disliked us. That person may be gone, but we still fight and lose the same battle when we find ourselves in a similar situation. We also may have won some battles without knowing it. This can happen when we've set our goals unrealistically high. We may be fairly successful in our work, for example, but still feel that we have failed because a high goal we set eluded us. That goal, however, may have been all but impossible to attain. And while we mourn our perceived failure, we ignore the successes we And when, while we mourn our perceived failure, we ignore the successes we may have achieved in the meantime. Consequently, we should never let any of these battles interfere with our plan for sobriety. We must stay sober at all costs. This day, I will not strive to impress people who may always disapprove of me. I will also accept my successes, even if they fall short of my highest dreams. Okay. I can probably think of at least one person in the news who will always disapprove of someone or something. I don't know if I want to go there quite yet. I do. I try to avoid current events on the show. I find that, first of all, it doesn't really seem to take me anywhere. And second, I mostly seem to alienate people who are very close to me. I make them upset by whatever stance it is I take. Now, it never lasts because these are good friends, people who are close. Well, I won't say never. I have lost one or two friends over the years in that manner. I've lost a lot more people who weren't, you know, really that close of friends. I thought we were closer than I guess we were. But there seems to be a volatility to things that are immediate. And I like to, consciously I shy away from them. What I mean by consciously is if I'm thinking about it, I will shy away from them. And I apologize if I'm trying to remember to talk a little bit, moderate my voice a little bit lower tonight because my daughter and my granddaughter are both staying at the house tonight. And I don't worry so much about waking my parents because they're old and they don't hear very well. But my daughter and my granddaughter, they have wonderful normal hearing. Or ordinary normal is not the word I wanted to use. That's why I paused there. I was trying to think of a different one. Typical, maybe. Well, anyway, they can hear. And I don't wish to wake them, particularly my granddaughter. So if it seems I'm talking a little bit, if I've moderated my tone a little bit too far low tonight, that's the reason. When I'm thinking about it, and also getting back to what I was talking about, when I'm thinking about topics and things I'm talking to either here on the show or to people face to face, I might, in the immediacy of the moment, and I'm just, you know, I just talk off the cuff sometimes, I may say something, either something that's ill-considered or something that really expresses the way I feel, and sometimes people just can't quite absorb it. Whereas if the story is not quite so recent, not quite so immediate, maybe we can communicate about it more more thoughtfully and more intelligently, if any of that makes any sense. This is the reason why I tend to shy away from current events. I like to wait and get a little bit of perspective on it before I go and put my thoughts and feelings out there on the internet for everyone to hear. Not exactly everyone. For the five or six of you who might be listening tonight. So where was I going with it? Why I said, because I said the Walk in Dry Places reading said that the very last thing, which I think maybe I'm sacrificing the point of the reading over just this last part that I saw about people who will school me, consequently we should never let that I'm say sober, impressing people who may always disapprove of me, and that led me to think. As soon as I read that, I thought of the woman in Kentucky who has citing her spirituality as a reason for not granting a marriage license to a same-sex couple. And you know, there are all kinds of different ways, of course, you could discuss that. Obviously, I disagree. It's legal now. There's no. It's a secular pursuit as opposed to a spiritual pursuit. And if one's spirituality does not allow one to keep those things separate, then you need to find something else to do. And I don't mean that to sound cruel. I mean that to say that there are always choices that have to be made. That's something that I think we've lost over, well, since I was growing up anyways. There were always choices that had to be made, you know, some less heavy choices would be, you know, am I going to go out for choir or am I going to go out for band, you know, or am I going to go out for nothing? Am I going to take French or am I going to take Spanish? You know, these are those things you have to choose, the things, the activities you were going to do, that because you had a certain amount of time and a certain amount of talent to distribute in whatever way was most effective or most enjoyable for you. That level of discipline has been lost, I think, I'm talking now so specifically about the education example. It's been lost in the name of increasing opportunity and letting people be well-rounded individuals. So we stand on our heads to give kids the opportunity to do everything. And I think the quality of each experience is diminished by that. So now take that into this larger, much more grave circumstance of being presented with you're working in a secular occupation where you're asked to do something that conflicts with your spirituality. I think it's the same thing. You can't have both. You've reached a point in the, or maybe there's a way that you can, but there's got to be some sort of compromise made. If it's truly a spiritual issue for you, I think you have to make that choice. And I think it might also be incumbent upon the people who are employing to offer that person another choice, something else perhaps they could do that wouldn't, a different job that wouldn't present the same conundrum. Now, all that being said, my thought, and I don't know this person, never talked to her, haven't seen her on TV, she's seen pictures of her on Facebook. My thought from my limited understanding of what has happened and my sort of anticipation of what, you know, was going to happen as soon as same-sex marriage between same-sex couples became, not between same-sex couples. See, this is the thing, I get all tied up in my own expression, and I forget where I was going. I don't want to say gay marriage. That's not the it's not gay marriage, it's just marriage. But anyway, that marriage between, you know, marriage for gay couples became legal. You knew at some point, you know, somebody's going to attempt to draw that line in the sand. And I think it's less a matter of spirituality and more a matter of getting your face on the TV and in the papers. This is a supposition on my part. I don't know this person. I've never talked to this person. She could be 100% genuine in her feelings, in her belief. I just tend to doubt it, because people who end up on television are hardly ever. As your TV time, as your face time on TV goes up, your genuineness quotient goes down. And there's probably a case study somewhere of someone who managed to remain true to their values while they were seeking the attention of mass media. But by and large, 99%, I'm thinking this is an exercise, ostensibly in promotion of a position, which is not what the spiritual choices are not about, promoting a position. Was I talking about evangelism last week? I knew I had intended to do it. I'm not sure if I actually did. Evangelism is something that I do not understand. I have never understood that it's not enough to hold a certain spiritual position, but you have to take that to spiritual position outside of yourself. You have to convince someone else that they need to hold that spiritual position. Or, I think in the case of this lady in Kentucky, to use secular power to force that spiritual position on other people. To use the power of the government to promote that position that marriage is one man, one woman. Which, in fact, is what has been done through all of our history until a few months ago. We want to be, or certain people would want to drag us back to that. And I just have a sick feeling that if it were to be put to a vote, it might actually happen. This happened way earlier than I ever thought it would. I didn't believe that our society was ready for it. And that I mean that ready for it. As again, I didn't, that sort of connotes something about that there's something wrong with the idea. I don't mean it that way. There's something wrong with the people. There's something wrong with the society. It's not the idea that's the problem. So how do I state that? How do I state that in a better way? It's the same thing. The same thing I believed before President Obama was elected. I never believed that I would see a non-white and non-male, for that matter, president of the United States while I was still alive. It's just, I thought it's just, there are too many people out there who are too invested in that idea that some people are better than other people, or some people are automatically more suited for certain levels of responsibility because of their skin color or because of their genitals. That there were too many, I felt that there were too many people devoted to that idea, that for it to ever, for you know, something like the presidency to ever befall someone who didn't have the proper pedigree. I was wrong. Things got bad enough. And that's really what cues it, isn't it? Big changes like that seem to happen when things finally get bad enough that people are willing to abandon their preconceived notions. The thing with same-sex marriage was different in that it was something done by the courts, and all of it, the whole march of same-sex marriage across the country, state by state. I mean, this wasn't being voted in. It was all being done by the courts. You're looking at the state constitutions, the federal constitutions, what have you, and saying, you know, there is this idea of equal protection under the law, and we can't create a privileged class of people. And by denying denying marriage to couples that didn't meet a certain, you know, you had to have, again, certain genital pattern. And there was a time when you had to have the proper combination of skin color, too. It wasn't that long ago. It was in the 60s. There was a movie made about it. It was a white man. It doesn't matter. It was a mixed race couple and who were arrested in Virginia and jailed. And that the final resolution was that they had to leave Virginia and never to return. And I think there was an admission of their heinous crime of getting married when they were the same race. And they did it, you know, to get out of jail. And one thinks, you know, well, that was something that belongs to distant past. Hey, wasn't that long ago? Many people within the sound of my voice were alive when that happened. So I don't see. I mean, it surprised me how shocked and surprised people were that there's a what? I think it was almost preordained that someone was going to try this, and it's going to happen again. It's going to happen lots of times. It's going to happen in places that are going to shock us, you know, because Kentucky isn't that far to the south. It's south of Ohio. It's not that far to the south. It could happen here in my home state of Ohio. I had believed that Ohio might just be state number 50. It might be the last one to lift the ban. And I was rather ashamed of that. Wasn't quite sure what I could do about it, but other than try and be involved. But that didn't happen that way. But I wonder if there's some clerk out there who's going to stand up and do the same thing. I think Indiana might be a likely candidate. I don't know, Colorado. Why Colorado 6 months is supposed to be very liberal, but strange things seem to happen. Oh, Arizona is still out there too. Weird stuff happens in Arizona. So, I don't think we're through with this. I think we're going to be hearing, and hopefully the case will be like this one, and it really won't amount to anything more than an inconvenience, except for the clerk herself, who I understand went to jail. I thought that might have been just a touch excessive, but then again, I don't know what the precise circumstances were. I'd written in my little blurb for this that I was going to talk about Tom Brady. I don't even exactly remember why. But then this came up and it seemed a little bit more, just a little bit more important. So we did that. What the heck? I'm breaking out the Shaman Tarot cards now. See if we can get this in before time runs out on us. Give them three shuffles as usual. And take the card from the top. And we've got... Oh, I remember this guy. This is the... maybe not. Maybe I can somebody else. This is the Knight of Bows. And he's sort of part modern, part ancient. What was the word I was using? I keep forgetting. He's got some native dress, but also some, I guess that could be like pioneer dress. He's, I'm sorry for the pauses. I don't multitask very well. Bones, the voyage. You can see how well I do with these things because I'm always the cords. Spirit of the kinds, which one? It could be the knave. Shaman, this is the knave of bows, and he's the shaman of the clouds. Understanding of how the vision of reality is distorted by our mental projections also represents intelligence, slyness, and overall vision. So understanding of how the vision of reality is distorted by our mental projections. Misguided spiritual beliefs. Of course, I don't know. Who is this card for? Is this card for that clerk, or is it for me? Do I have projections of misguided whatever it is? I'm sure I know I have projections. Understanding of how the vision of reality is distorted by our mental projections also can indicate intelligence, slyness, overall vision. So what's coming up that could be applicable for him? Well, there's always the job search. There's always the writing I keep saying I'm going to do, but I never do. And I've gotten several cards over the past couple weeks that seem to point in that direction. He's flying, this dude. He's in his pioneer leathers and a skin on his back, and he's flying. There's a couple of hawks flying with him, and he's flying over a city, a modern city. So I guess maybe that's supposed to represent the idea that he sees. It's just sort of maybe analogous to the Seas Far people in the Nemanja tradition, whom you seek in the sweat ceremony, or any ceremony you're doing. It's one of the positions on the medicine wheel. It's the east door, if I'm not very much mistaken, is where you find the eagle and the Seas Far people. And you consult them when you need to know something that's beyond your own vision. So that kind of lines up too, is because this guy's supposed to be about vision and what is hidden. And well, I know from my little apartment, and when I stay there a lot, because not a lot has been cooking on the job front, and there's not a lot I can see from that position. I would definitely need might be too strong of a word. It would be helpful to enjoy the vision of, you know, someone and something who can see beyond those walls to what's next for me. Because that's what, I mean, that's kind of the idea that puts me into despair often. Is, you know, what's next? Is this, you know, is this the way my life's going to be? You get a few days of work here, a few days of work there, and live in an apartment the city provides me and cuts down all of my bills so I can afford to pay them. I mean, is that... It opens me up to any time I say something about, you know, say something populist, the fact that I live in, you know, the way I live automatically opens me up to criticism. You know, I accept all these things, all this help from the government, and I have no shame about accepting it because I paid into the system for years. But I understand that having accepted what some would think of as the gifts of the devil gives them something to say. One of those things you say when you're in a discussion with someone and they don't have a good response, so they attack you personally. Who you are becomes part of the argument. And right now who I am is that little bitty apartment and sitting there with really no prospects, certainly no immediate prospects. And the only people I have to talk to are you, out there, in Radio Land. That's not true. I have a number of friends in my spiritual circle, a number of people in my family circle that I can speak to. And I've been doing so the past couple of weeks to stop me from my main mode of acting out right now, which is, you know, putting myself into dangerous situations. That has improved. You know, thanks to spirit, and thanks to the ancestors who surround me and protect me, thanks to my friends, and thanks to my family who offer me diversions like this visit from my daughter and my granddaughter that let me think of myself as a higher being and not as someone, not as an object of pity and not as an object of shame. It's allowed me to separate myself from the things that I have done. That's what this experience is about. So perhaps that's the idea of looking, having with vision, and it's a slyness, you know, sort of a, perhaps I have the mental power to use that insight to my advantage. And if the cards are telling me I need to do that, that means it's not wrong to do that, right? I'm starting to like this Shaman Tarot deck. I'm starting to like this form of spirituality. In any case, we have come to the end of our time together this evening. I want to thank you for listening. Tell your friends if you like the show. If you didn't like the show, you know, don't say anything. And you can also join us at any time on, not at any time, but several times during the week on withinsightsradio.com here on Blog Talk Radio. Lots of shows, none really like this, but all shaman-type shows. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. And so, for this evening, I will say goodnight and hope you join me again next week. Have a pleasant good evening.